The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Yeah, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Important topic today. Before we get into it, I want to mention again that Saturday at midnight, just a couple days away, the Orbit Nutrition sale on PES's Anabeta ends. You can get Anabeta for $29.99 a bottle, ridiculously low price. Go to orbitnutrition.com and let Mitch, Muscle Mitch over at Orbit know that Carl sent you. I said something to my next guest, and it really is true. When we were getting ready to do the show, I said, well, you know the routine. You've been doing it longer than anybody else, and it's none other than Anthony Roberts. How you doing, Anthony?
Pretty good. How are you, Carl?
Good. And it is true. You were, if not, I think Mauro DiPasquale was my first guest, and you were my second guest on my very, very first two shows. And you've been doing it between you and Mauro longer than anybody else. So I just think that's a novel concept when people just keep on.
Yeah, you sent me a, like, the thing that you sent to guests. You sent it to me via email, and I was like, what? Like, well, why did he send me this? I've been doing this for
so long.
Years.
Yeah, I know, right? It's, you know what? In order for me to schedule it, I got to put it into the electronic calendar in the show organizer, and that automatically gets sent out. So, what are you going to do? Save it.
I actually went through and reread it because I thought maybe there was something
that changed.
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking, you know, I didn't get it. And then I just said, maybe it's just like a standard.
Yeah, it is. It's standard. For guys like you, it's you just delete it. That's all. But anyway, this is an important show because this is actually a pet peeve of mine. I am still going to be doing a new show called Open Season on Men very shortly. I am going to be kicking that show off. And part of the reason for the show is that I really feel that men are being thrown under the social bus in this day and age. We're being blamed for everything from wars and violence to everything else. And you know, men are one of the greatest commodities this country has, not to take anything away from women. But quite often men are viewed as antisocial, animals, monsters, angry, blah, 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 blah. And the list goes on. And the reason for that, quite often, it's implicated is testosterone. Well, testosterone is the problem, you know, the male hormone that leads to antisocial behavior, violence, rage, so on and so forth. But in a recent study, as a result of reading one of your blog posts recently, you found that there may be some evidence to the contrary, which is something I believed all along. But let's talk about that a little bit. So talk about your blog post.
But basically, I think what we're seeing, and, you know, you and I say this all the time, like, oh, the pendulum is swinging the other way, and, like, we're sort of at this stage where the pendulum is just inching, you know, in the other direction, sort of a little bit more each day. And what happened was some researchers took a look at testosterone as like more of a pro-social hormone. So not looking at it and saying, oh, well, it, you know, influences aggression and all these other things. But they looked at it, you know, sort of more as what it is, not something that exists in a vacuum, but
right.
they saw a high correlation with, between testosterone and, you know, the so-called protectors of the tribe, like firemen, people that you know, are pro-social and altruistic, and, you know, they think it's the same motivation in a fireman that would have been the motivation for someone who protected their tribe, you know, back in the day.
Right,
and
right.
Typically that would be a male.
Right. And this is completely contrary to mainstream media's portrayal of testosterone. I remember early on when I started doing this show, I received an email from somebody after doing a pro-testosterone show. pointing out a study that was done in prison, and I'm paraphrasing because it's probably 5 years ago that I got this email, and I think you and I actually talked about this. They did a study in a prison where they checked the testosterone levels of inmates and found that the highest testosterone levels belonged to those who had the greatest propensity for violence. And they immediately said violence and testosterone go hand in hand. And do you remember talking about this years ago?
Yeah, actually, I do. And actually, one of the things I brought up was that that correlative factor, when you look at violence or aggressive behavior in testosterone, there are other studies that show that it's very much linked to like lower intelligence levels as well.
Right.
It's not just one. And that's
corollary.
The problem. It's not just one thing, you
right.
know, which is what people like to, you know, like to say that it is. It's really, you know,
right.
It's complicated.
And interestingly enough, in this study, they could not get inmates to cooperate with the study. So what they did was they collected, you ready for this? The chewing gum.
From saliva.
Right, for the saliva test. And my attitude about this study was, look, chances are if you check inmates for estrogen levels, you're going to find a linkage between the most violent and if you're going into, if your universe of test subjects are inmates in a prison, there are lots of things I could link to it. Chances are a lot of those guys who are most violent eat broccoli.
Yeah.
You know, they also shower. So water could be implicated. You know what I mean? It's like you can't do that. You can't take the violent, the most violent of society and then try to make this correlation. But that study was quoted over and over again for years trying to throw testosterone under the bus.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things where, especially in this, you know, in this day and age where you have, like, Congressman Weiner, right, and they'll be like, oh, a little bit too high on the testosterone. Like, people use it as this, like, sort of joking thing, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, oh, yeah, he had an affair, a little bit too much testosterone. It's always that stupidity, you know, it's
right.
always that stupid refrain where some guy gets caught behaving badly and it's, you know, hey, a little too much testosterone. It's just, you know, it's out of hand.
Talk about the study. What were the, how was the study set up?
Well, actually, it's what I quoted was, it was called Further Notes on Testosterone as a Social Hormone. It was like a review. So,
okay.
They basically looked at the, for example, actions of testosterone on the brain. Okay? And, you know, they saw that, you know, in response to a threat, most of what you see with testosterone and aggression is in response to a threat.
Right.
And that's an important thing, right? Because we sort of have this idea, I mean, not us, but society, as testosterone is the instigator. It's not. It's the defender.
Right.
Okay?
Obviously, if you have problems perceiving reality that preclude your testosterone levels, then your perception of a threat could be the problem at hand.
Well, to sort of tie this in with another blog post I made, there was a guy, he happened to have been dealing steroids in Austin, and he had and has severe mental issues. Nothing to do with, you know, with testosterone
right.
or steroids.
Right.
But he, you know, he would handcuff himself to the bed at night so he didn't, whatever, sleepwalk and kill people
so he didn't,
or whatever.
So he didn't turn into a werewolf.
Werewolf, that's what I thought. That was the first thing I thought.
Lon Chaney Jr.
Yeah, the first thing I thought was like, that's straight out of a werewolf movie. So
I know.
He, you know, he kept a diary and it reads kind of, you know, like American Psycho where he's kind of saying, I saw a woman walk out of Macy's with her daughter and I wanted to shoot them both in the head. Like he was, you know, he's clearly insane.
Right.
And he happened to, you know, he's got a skewed view of reality.
Right.
Which has nothing to do with, you know, with steroids or with testosterone. But like you said, an individual like that, yeah, they might perceive threats where there are none, clearly.
Exactly. And so the testosterone is going to do the same thing with that person as a person who is perceiving a valid threat. and maybe call them to action. Here's what we got to do. We got to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to explore this concept in detail. I have a lot of strong opinions. I know Anthony has a lot of strong opinions. And you can read Anthony Roberts' blog. It's a great blog. It's a cornucopia of information. It's always different. It's never the same. You can go to anthonyroberts.info to learn more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation, because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
When you take real performance enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Any of you who have ordered the free sample of Kodiak Cream, I'm asking you to be patient for its arrival. We got hit with 22,000 plus free sample requests, all legitimate requests, no spam.
Oh, wow.
It was unbelievable. I forget how big this audience is sometimes. And, you know, and Kodiak Cream is a small company, and fulfilling 22,000 samples is like a huge undertaking. Never mind the cost, but actual, you know, envelope stuffing and so on.
Yeah.
So they're doing them in batches. They're getting it out as quickly as possible. So please be patient if you are waiting for a free sample. Also, in an effort to make sure that addresses are correct,
They will be sending you a confirmation email. You should be getting an email from the folks at Kodiak Cream, and they want you to respond back and make sure that this is the correct address they're sending it to. So please watch for that if you've requested a free sample. Anyway, so getting back to the subject at hand, those of us who have used high-level superphysiological levels of testosterone, what I find happens when my test levels are high or higher is I tend to be more relaxed and more calm about responding to things. Now, I can't speak to other anabolic steroids like trenbolone, for instance, you know, because those cause wild fluctuations in blood sugar levels that could precipitate anxiety and moodiness and so on. But we're talking about testosterone here. Is what I'm saying about having that sense of well-being, that sense of I can handle this, the blunted response to stressful situations, something that you've found and from people you've talked to in your own experience, Anthony?
You know, confining the dialogue to testosterone, yeah, I've found that. Moving, you know, to other stuff, like I've used halotestin.
Right.
And I've felt more aggressive and said to myself, I'm feeling angrier than I normally would at this particular incident. And it was, you know, duly noted, but there was no manifestation of that anger. It was just, wow, this is bothering me, you know, more than it should.
And obviously, having that sense of self-awareness is not something that all people are partial to in my experience in life. I think with your greater level of intelligence comes a greater sense of self-awareness. Would you agree to that, or am I off base?
I think in general, you know, when people do something, whatever it is, like even if, like, we'll talk about drinking, right? Like if someone drinks, a lot of times, you know, they'll say, all right, I've had a couple beers and I'm pretty upset at whatever it was, you know, this incident at a bar, but I'm not going to get in a bar fight. I mean, you know, it's the beer talking, the beer muscles, whatever you want to say.
Right.
Like, there's a degree of awareness that you need to have when you're adding some sort of foreign or even, you know, endogenous, you know, chemical to your body. You just have to take a step back and say, wait, I know I'm taking something that might make me more aggressive. Would I normally,
you know... Yeah, people do that, as you said, with alcohol. People adjust their expectations of being able to do certain things based on alcohol consumption. They will say, you know what, I'm going to be drinking tonight. I'm leaving my car keys home. I'm going to cab it. That's an adjustment based on the use of alcohol. So obviously with some of these other anabolic steroids, people should take the same approach to adjusting their expectations of how they're going to handle things. But we're not talking about that. And see, this is what I don't want to do. I don't want to convolute what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is testosterone, because I'm actually trying to find someone in law enforcement to come on the show anonymously. We can even scramble their voice if they want to, and we will protect their identity. I have a strong belief that, as police officers, for instance, who are on the front lines, age, and their testosterone and estrogen levels start to fluctuate, this is when they start making fatal mistakes.
Well, you know, let me just, you know, before I lose my thought, you know that when cops work in pairs, okay, they're more likely to make, you know, to be killed, to make a bad decision, to get involved in altercation. Cops in pairs are actually less effective, and what they think that is, and it sort of, you know, joins into this point, what they think it is that they're trying to look fearless or look tough in front of their partner.
I could see that.
You know, so there's this huge psychological component as well where, where they've found that cops working in pairs really is actually a bad idea.
Isn't that something?
That's amazing. So the psychological component is huge. The Star Ledger here in New Jersey did a series of investigative pieces called Strong at Any Cost, where they looked at, you know, police, you know, getting prescriptions and all that kind of thing. is pretty good.
And when you say prescriptions, are we talking about prescription testosterone? We're talking about any kind of prescriptions.
We're talking about prescription testosterone, steroids, and growth hormone, which, as you know, shouldn't really even, you know, be mentioned in the same category. It's completely different.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly, because growth hormone does not affect any of the components of judgment, aggression, and so on the way sex hormones do.
Well, you know, the family of Amanda Seville, the IFBB physique athlete who was killed by David Jacobs, her family tried to sue Gene Science for the growth hormone that they claimed caused growth hormone rage in David Jacobs. No, I'm not kidding.
Wow.
They tried to sue, and I think it was dismissed, like, before it went anywhere.
And I mean, so, in other words, David Jacobs was only using growth hormone? He wasn't using anything else?
He was using everything else in the world.
Oh, but they figured they would go after GenSci as well.
Right, because he was manufacturing his own steroids, and you can't go after, you know, recreational places. So.
Well, see, and this is a perfect example. I mean, on another note, this is a perfect example of what's wrong with this country. Everybody's looking to cash in. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they wouldn't trade to have their daughter be alive. But the idea that, well, someone has to pay for this and pay... Is it no longer acceptable just to put the guy in jail? Somebody has to pay financially. We're so hooked into this punitive damages concept that we have to find someone that's going to pay millions. Otherwise, we don't feel like the message was sent, and that's BS.
No, and that's why, like, you know, obviously we need tort reform, and that's why other countries don't honor American, you know, civil judgments. I mean, if you have a civil judgment against you and you know someone tries to enforce it in another country, they laugh at you. They're like, we don't honor your civil judgments because we think they're a joke. We don't honor them because they're not honorable, you know?
You know, I was in the Bahamas on business. Trinidad, actually. I'll take it back.
Setting up an offshore account?
No. Back in the day when I was in the electronics business, there was a guy there who wanted to start buying equipment from us, so we had to go there, and one of the guys in my party fell at the hotel, on wet surface. They were washing the floor. It was late in the evening. He fell. Now, he immediately saw dollar signs. He's going to cash in on this. But what he found out was in Trinidad, in order to sue the hotel, you not only had to prove that you were injured, but you had to front the money that it was going to cost the government of Trinidad to host your lawsuit. And it was like 70-something thousand U.S. that he would have had to come out of pocket. Now, if he would have won, then that money would have been reimbursed to him by the hotel, plus what are the damages. But also the damages that they would only allow him to sue for were actually medical expenses, not you know, perceived loss of wages. And so he abandoned the lawsuit immediately because he was going to – and I thought to myself, what a great way. That's the way it should be here in the United States. And I know a lot of people are going to say, yeah, but most of us can't afford – to fight those lawsuits. The reality is that I would venture to say that 90% of the personal injury lawsuits out there are frivolous.
Yeah.
And they're bogging everything down. They're draining us. I mean, this is yet another thing. You talk about tort reform. I know we're getting off base here real far, but I couldn't help but comment on it. And I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was refreshing. Like, you know what? If you have a real lawsuit, you want to fight it, you can fight it. It's going to take some money. You got to believe in your lawsuit's provability.
Yeah.
But if it's frivolous, you're not going to drop $70,000 to prove something that's frivolous and then lose the $70,000. So anyway,
that's a great system.
I know. Obviously, not a lot of lawsuits in Trinidad, right?
No.
So, and anyway, getting back to the subject at hand.
Yep.
You know, testosterone being the culprit. You said a moment ago, or earlier in the interview, that the pendulum is starting to swing in the other direction. How did this particular article, do you feel, if mainstream media start to pay attention to it, what impact do you think it will have on testosterone at all?
Well, you know, I think it's got the potential to, you know, even have it sort of to stop being vilified. And there's an article. It's actually not an article. It's a book, Heroes, Rogues, and Lovers on Testosterone and Behavior. And the argument in the book is that this sort of rebellious, you know, sort of behavior that the testosterone, you know, might influence is, you know, the kind of behavior that, you know, had our ancestors cross the land bridge or try and get to the moon, you know?
Right.
Is that without this sort of, you know, this testosterone drive, we wouldn't have really struck out very far past our own shores in many ways. So we're seeing that, you know, at least we're seeing people say, wait a minute, let's give testosterone a chance, you know? Let's like stop making snide comments about, like, you know, Dominic Strauss-Kahn and the maid in the New York hotel and keep laughing about testosterone and all this stuff. Like, let's use it for something more than a punchline. And when you really start looking at it, you say, oh, wow, like, what if it is responsible for all of these great things and this protector role and innovation and you know.
And you know, the majority of men who go through divorces in this day and age, I would submit, are going through andropause as their spouses are going through menopause. And it's clear that when men start going through andropause, they become grumpy and mean. And I believe that a lot of what's going on in divorce court today is a result of the lack of altruism. And apparently testosterone can help men be more altruistic. I'm not suggesting that men should give blood at the divorce level, but what I am saying is it becomes, quite frankly, a pissing contest between the husband and wife that destroys families, and the only victors are the state, the court systems who have to preside over these cases. I want to talk about the feminization of the United States, in contrast to what we're talking about. We're talking with Anthony Roberts about testosterone actually being a pro-social hormone, not an anti-social hormone. Hopefully more people will start to get this message. You can learn more about Anthony Roberts. If you haven't read his blog, you should, at anthonyroberts.info. Check it out. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. more. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high voltage rock. In your name we pray.
Just want to remind everybody about a couple coupon codes. First of all, we have the coupon code for opresource.net, which is superhuman25. Save 25% off of your peptide purchases at opresource.net. Also, two banner ads on Superhuman Radio with coupon codes attached. And that is one for the Testo 100 testosterone boosting patch and the other one for the power patch from Age Force, which is SHRPP, 50% off the power patch, which has real growth hormone, somatropin, in the patch, 25 milligrams in a single patch. There are a lot of you out there who say that you can't deliver that large of a peptide through the skin, but there is some research that shows that transdermal science has come a long way, and it is possible to deliver through the skin these very, very large peptides when they are folded. If you want to learn more about the power patch, go to superhumanradio.com. Look for the banner ad at the very, very top of the page, and you can learn more about it. My guest this hour is Anthony Roberts. We're talking about testosterone being a culprit. I just want to talk just a brief moment more about that, and then I want to talk about one of your other blog posts on training at a quicker tempo. I know that you're doing a lot of writing now for CrossFit. Is that correct?
I submitted my first piece with Brian McKenzie, co-wrote a piece with him, and we've got another, you know, at least another piece in the work, and I'm pretty lucky, you know, in that way that I've gotten to some sort of stage in my career where I'm being given enough intellectual rope to hang myself with, and I'm like, I'm very free to, like, you know, this guy's an ultra marathon runner, you know?
Right.
It's not my usual sort of, you know, partner in crime, so it's pretty cool that I'm able to get into different, you know, communities and subsets and, you know, and go hang myself in other new places.
Well, we're gonna talk about one of the articles on your blog in just a second. I just want to come back and finish up with one comment.
Mm-hmm.
There, we've actually talked about this. I've had Sean Phillips on the show talk about this. There is absolutely a feminization or a preferred more feminine man in society today, by society and by women, especially women like Joy Behar, who, if they would probably castrate and do it under the spay and neuter approach, castrate baby boys at birth, she'd probably be a happier camper. But there is clearly a feminization of men, or a preferred more feminine man, a metrosexual, whatever you want to call it, in this country. And wouldn't you agree, or what is your opinion of the linkage between the negative propaganda on testosterone?
Yeah, let me just take the ball and run with that.
Yeah.
One. You know, and part of it, and I'll tell you, I've sat there, I've read the articles, you know, and I sort of look at, you know, this, especially this, you know, men behaving badly phenomenon where, you know, it's, oh, you know, we're no longer going to accept the boys will be boys thing, and these guys are awful and the worst people ever. And then the guys get up there and they do this, you know, this public castration where they say, I'm the worst guy ever.
Yeah,
mea culpa,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
They get up there and they sort of publicly, you know, go through the castration motion. I'm the worst guy ever. And then, to be really honest, and then you have Charlie Sheen, right?
Right.
Who just says, F you, I'm going to go out, do a bunch of coke, and hang out with porn stars for the next few months.
Right.
And honestly, we need more guys like Charlie Sheen.
Not because...
I'm not even joking. I'm sick of the guy that gets up and just, yeah, I'm the worst guy ever. I should be, you know, killed. I'm terrible. Forget that, you know? I mean, honestly, we've seen it enough. No, first of all, nobody believes them anyway.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, I'd much rather see a guy say, "Yeah, F this. I'm gonna take off. I'm gonna quit my job. Go, you know, do drugs with porn chicks."
Yeah.
And that's that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually.
And then people would stop crying for the mea culpa. They'd say, "Man, we don't want this guy to go off and do that. Let's not even, you know, let's back off." You know.
Yeah, it's you know what, and a lot of people are going to cringe by what you just said because it is politically incorrect to say that you are unrepentant.
Testosterone-ophile.
Yeah, exactly. But the reality is, the interesting thing about most of these men who are cheating, who are they cheating with? They're not cheating with other men. They're cheating with women. The women
the governor of New Jersey.
Yeah, the women are almost always viewed as victims in the process. Well, you know, this woman was bed by Arnold, and you know, of course, she was taken by Arnold. His power, his magnetism.
Yeah.
She was just an unwilling participant. The women are never, very rarely, ostracized. Even the one woman that they did kind of get was the one that was sleeping with Jesse James in the Sandra Bullock Jesse James
breakup. Kat Von D.
Yeah. No. Who, what was her name?
Kat Von D.
No, isn't Kat Von D the Kat Von D is the tattoo. Kat Von D is the tattoo star. The tattoo.
Yeah, isn't it? Oh, you're thinking the porn chick.
Yeah, she was all tattooed. You were right about that. She was completely tattooed with swastikas and all that.
Was it Janine Leidenmuller?
I think that's who it was, exactly.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason why they paraded her up on stage was because she was the antithesis of the clean, squeaky clean and perky and happy Sandra Bullock. She, on the other hand, was, you know, a neo-Nazi-ite with completely tattooed body. So she was kind of like a freak show. So they did put her up there. But
Elliot Spitzer lost his job as governor, right? And Ashley Dupree got a column in the New York Post for being a prostitute.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he lost his job. She got a job. Well, she had a job already. But she got a job with the New York Post for being a prostitute that slept with the governor. She got a sex column, and you know, he lost his job, and it's a very odd world where that kind of thing can happen.
And you
love the New York Post,
and you know what? I am not anti-feminine.
I'm not anti-prostitute.
I am not an anti-feminist. It's not like as though I'm saying, oh, you know, we have to push women back 1,000 years so that men can get a leg up. What I am saying is that men need to take note of what women have done in the past 100 years, and we need to start doing some of those things too, because we are really an endangered species today. You know what? There will come a time where people will start looking at men as being more trouble than they're worth. You mark my words. It's coming. So anyway, all right. Let's get off that wagon for a second. Tell me about the effects of training tempo, and we're not talking about rest periods now. We're talking about the actual speed in which you do reps, correct?
We're talking about the speed at which you complete the concentric portion of the rep. If you can move the weight faster, and what they did was they compared. So I'll just tell everyone how tempo works. There's two ways to denote tempo when you write it down. There's either three numbers or four numbers, right?
Right.
And it starts with the lowering phase, the eccentric phase. So if it's 2, 0, 2, that means it's 2 seconds to lower the weight, zero pause at the bottom, and 2 seconds to raise the weight.
Right.
Sometimes they'll denote it with a fourth number. That's the pause at the top.
Okay.
So just so people know what we're talking about, they examined a 2-0-2 versus a 2-0-4 tempo and found that there was a greater increase in IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1, a highly anabolic growth factor. They found there was a greater increase with the faster tempo. And what they also found was that heavier training loads could be used. Now, it wasn't as recent, but another study looked at the eccentric phase and saw that the response for mTOR and various other anabolic signals, so mammalian target of rapamycin,
right.
They found that it was pretty much the same with, you know, slow lowering. I mean, everyone's, lower the weight, you know, more slowly, it'll provide XYZ benefit. In terms of hypertrophy, lowering the weight really slowly doesn't provide a benefit, and it appears that lifting the weight more quickly provides a greater anabolic stimulus and allows for greater loads to be used. So, you know, it doesn't give license for people to go crazy and get sloppy and lift as fast as they can. But, you know, I'd also add that, you know, when you look at lowering the weight, and, you know, you'll see it every so often as like an advanced training method, right? Negatives.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, it's a total bonehead idea, right? It's like, I'll put more weight on the bar than I can handle. I'll just lower it.
Right.
And I understand, you know, the theory, but that actually produces very little by way of concentric gains. So, and it gets worse. The more advanced of an athlete you are, the worse it gets. So, it really doesn't help you get stronger. It just helps you. It helps you do the thing you're doing, right? So we look at something like SED, specific adaptation to imposed demands. If you can lower a really heavy weight, it means you can lower a really heavy weight. It doesn't mean you can lift one.
Yeah.
In fact, usually it means you can't lift much more than that.
Yeah. So now, what about people who are using IGF-1, long R3, as a pre-workout peptide protocol? Does it matter at that moment how you train?
Yeah, you know, when you're training, yeah, I think it does. I think you want to. There's some good research that shows that exercises with a greater stretch component upregulate IGF receptors.
Ah.
So that might be a potential strategy to get the most out of what you're doing. But
okay.
In general, the most efficacious hypertrophy routine for using IGF-1 would likely be the most efficacious hypertrophy routine, period.
Right, not using IGF-1.
Again. Right, yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
I have this theory about IGF-1. When I first started to do research on IGF-1 and IGF-1 long R3, IGF-1 responses in muscle, I noticed that certain training protocols stimulated a greater degree of IGF-1 in the working
mm-hmm.
muscles. And did not necessarily affect serum levels of IGF-1. So that caused me, as you well know, to site inject my IGF-1. So if I trained arms and I wanted my biceps to grow, I would inject, you know, 50 micrograms of IGF-1 in my left bicep and in my right bicep.
Right.
Then I started to have a change in opinion of it. And I started to, even though the research doesn't prove what I'm saying, it just seems logical to me. While there is not an increase in serum levels of IGF-1, but there is an increase levels in intramuscular IGF-1 in the working muscles, I started to think that IGF-1 was not necessarily being produced in the muscles, but accumulated at a greater rate in those working muscles. And so then I just started injecting my IGF-1 like I would any other in my abdominal fat fold, boom, shoot it in there. Because my attitude is, once it's in my bloodstream, it's going to accumulate to a greater degree in the working muscles. What would you say to that?
Well, actually, so I think you're right. But what I would also say is that you made a comment about, you know, you looked at the research.
Right.
And you looked at different training protocols' effects on IGF-1.
Right.
Okay. And this is my opinion on the research regarding, in fact, all sports science, right?
Okay.
So these studies that you and I are talking about, not necessarily just IGF-1, but we're talking about studies where someone says, hey, man, lowering that weight doesn't really make me stronger, or, hey, if it doesn't take me 4 seconds to lift, if it only takes me 2, I can use heavier weights. Sports science, right? And I would say to the listeners, if they remember one thing that I'm saying today, remember this. Sports science is the history of athletic training. In other words, people make this, you know, observation, and they say, hey, man, if I lift that weight faster, I can go heavier. And then 50 years later or 100 years later, a scientist says, we should look into that. And they do a study, and now it's, quote, proven. I mean, if you look at, for example, Mike, right, Mike Mahler,
okay,
he's training people with kettlebells, right? He says, do 20 minutes of kettlebell snatches, one-arm kettlebell snatches, instead of your regular elliptical or jogging.
Right.
And those people are getting, you know, more muscular, they're putting on a ton of muscle, they're losing a ton of fat, they're burning way more calories. Then years after Mike does that, you'll see a study that says metabolic and oxygen cost of kettlebell exercise in males.
All right.
And what it determines is, hey, this coach who's been doing this thing for so long and showing everyone that it works, he's right.
Right. Right.
Sports science is just the history of athletics. It's what coaches have been doing for 10 years. So when you say, yeah,
The research shows this,
or you say, research shows this, my experience is this, but there's no research, there will be that research, but you're ahead of it.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
You know, and that's the thing. Whenever you see something in the literature, especially as a coach, if there's, you know, other coaches out there, when they see something in the literature, it's outdated already.
So really, the sports science literature in general,
it's just validation
of things we've been doing. It's not forethought. It's not forethinking. It's not looking forward and saying, well, why don't we try this? We know this is already this way. Why don't we try this?
No, it's a history report. That's all it is. It's a report of what already happened. So if you're not on the cutting edge, you know, you're pretty far behind. I mean, you might not be behind your contemporaries working in the same field, in the same division, training opposing athletes, you know, because the research is great. But, yeah, if you look at research and say this is cutting edge, it's not, because those scientists are not out on the field, and they're not out there like you were saying, like you were doing, injecting IGF and saying, well, I think I get a better systemic response.
Right.
They're not doing any of these things. They're waiting till other people observe it, and then they're saying, oh, wow, let me do a study. Yeah, that guy was right.
Yeah.
Carl Lenore was right. You know?
Could you imagine? Maybe I will be right someday. All right, let's do this. Let's take all this.
I was right once.
But then what?
But nobody really noticed.
Oh, okay. You're being serious? You were right once? You're joking right now?
No, I was mentioned in a study once, yeah.
Really? All right, let's talk about that when we come back, okay? I want to hear about
that.
Yep. All right, we're talking with Anthony Roberts. You can go to his blog, anthonyroberts.info, for some of the best info. He is the CNN of the steroid world. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol, with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol Dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Branch chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
You know, we have to stop apologizing for being men. I happen to be very fortunate to have a woman in my life who embraces my masculinity. In the past, I have not had that in my life. But we have to stop being apologetic for being men, and we have to stop apologizing for testosterone, and we have to be, you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be humble, but I am saying that we need to stop paying more attention to seeing the value in being a man. Too many of us focus on, with our own children, on honoring our mother and, you know, pay attention. You know, you only have one mom, and men do this sort of stuff. We kind of sacrifice our importance, our value in light of the woman in our lives. We have to stop doing that. We have to start teaching children that the father is just as important as the mother, and we have to start embracing masculinity, because you know what? It's what got us to this point. And it's not, you know, men didn't start wars. If you want to be honest about it, religion starts wars. That's it. End of story. But,
well, the face that launched a thousand ships wasn't a guy's face, was it?
No, that's right. That's right.
You know, I would say, by the way, just as a, maybe an interesting aside, or maybe not, you know, I actually, and this isn't a joke or like some kind of like witty like pun, I actually earned my minor degree in women's studies at Seton Hall.
Okay.
So just, you know, in case people think that I'm
now, what is that? What does that curriculum entail? Women's studies.
Well, so I had to do feminist theory, which was awesome. It was a philosophy course. I did two women in antiquity classes, so sort of women throughout the ages. And then two women in literature courses, and a senior seminar, which was an independent study on Simone de Beauvoir. So,
why did you choose that?
You know, it was what I was interested in at the time, and still, I was, you know, I have two degrees, one in English, one in philosophy, and sort of one of my favorites, was Sartre, you know, and like existentialism, and you know, his lifelong partner was Simone de Beauvoir. So I got into it that way,
right?
Where you have these two great minds of, you know, philosophy, and I think really that's, you know, that's more what we should be getting at is, you know, you have Sartre and de Beauvoir, you know, these two like amazing sort of minds in the field, and they were equals, and there was never any pretense of them not being equals.
Yeah.
You know, and they were both contributing, and they were both amazing thinkers.
My frustration right now in society, as it views men and women, is that women are equals up until a point where they don't want to be equals anymore. And like, if you're a man and you ever end up in family court, you'll find this to be very true very quickly. You'll have, you know, women who have the ability to earn more than you do. You have all these things that are on one side, but when you end up in family court, the woman is viewed as this weak, unable to care for herself, individual, and men are looked at as, you know, you're just trying to run out on your responsibilities, and it's a
you don't write past injustices by creating future ones.
Yeah, perfect.
Women were discriminated against, or women, so now we'll discriminate against men. You know, it's two wrongs make a right kind of a thing. It's not really the way it works. You don't write the past injustices by creating more injustice of the future.
And you know what the interesting thing about all this is? There are women out there who are in relationships and love men who have been through this process, and they become the greatest of vocal dissidents against this process, because any woman who is with a man who's gone through a divorce where he was thrown under the bus, which is most men who go through divorce today, those women who love those men inherit those problems. They look at the system and they go, my God, if I hadn't seen this myself, I wouldn't believe it's going on. And they actually are the female voices for this argument. I'm speaking from experience. They see that, this is just I can't believe how unfair this is. How could they do this to you? And you go, this is the way the court system works. And the interesting thing about all this is about 7 months ago, the Wall Street Journal did a whole article about divorce. And, it was on the Saturday WSJ. And it was, now there are judges who used to preside in family court who are finding themselves on the other side of the bench having to pay their ex-wives hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of years through divorce. And now all of a sudden they're going, hey, wait, this isn't fair. When they were handing down those edicts, they were just fine with it. But now that they're looking at having to move into a tiny little apartment so that they can give the lion's share of their earnings to their ex-wife and family that they're estranged from now all of a sudden they're crying foul. So I'm hopeful that as more and more politicians and lawmakers start going through divorce themselves and finding themselves at the wrong side of that bench, that they're going to go, wow, there's a problem here. We are really destroying lives by the way we
rule. If men divorce, their chance of dying goes up by 30%, but for women it's about half of that. And a woman's chance of dying, if her partner dies, so if she's, you know, becomes a widow, her chance of dying doesn't go up at all, whereas the men's goes up substantially.
Right.
Isn't that kind of interesting? I snagged that off Ergolog. I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
No, but that's
ergo-log.com. It's a great blog. Like, and they did this sort of whole post on marriage, and basically what it says is like if you're a guy and you get divorced or you get married too young or any of these other things, like, it takes years off your life. If you're a woman, hey, whatever.
Doesn't affect you.
doesn't matter.
But you know what? You know what it is too. I don't know. I don't know that that's a result of what society does to men when they go through divorce, or the fact that women have a greater capacity to dismiss someone from their lives, especially post-menopause. They have the greater capacity to flip a switch and go, I feel nothing for you any longer. And I think men, perhaps, even though we're supposed to be the violent brutes and uncaring ones, we have a much harder time flipping that switch and going, I don't care about you anymore. And I really think that that's what it is, because when you look at men and women when they get into court,
Women pull out all the stops. They will have their ex-husbands or soon-to-be ex-husbands thrown in jail. And not even, I mean, not think anything of it, where men quite often, and I've spoken to a lot of men about this, who take this approach, that like they'll say things to their attorney like, look, I don't want to destroy her. I just don't want to be destroyed. Where women go into the divorce going, I want to destroy him, and I want everything I can because I'm entitled to it. So there's, I think women have a greater capacity to flip that switch and say, I'm done with you. You mean nothing to me. And subsequently, I have a feeling that they are able to kind of just go, well, you know, another day, let's move on.
Yeah, and the studies on you know, on estrogen and stuff like that.
Especially, by the way.
They really support, you know, that, and they really, you know, generally, and again, we might be looking at something where it's, I mean, I'm familiar with athletics, you know. I know what goes on in training sessions, you know, and versus what we see in the studies. And I know that the studies are far behind what we're doing in training. But, you know, in terms of societal interaction, you know, I'm obviously not as up to date as I am with training.
Right.
But I think a lot of the studies on various sex hormones that we're seeing coming out are as a result of this, observation, you know, and, hey, why is this going on? All right, let's see what happens with rodents or with whatever.
Well, I'll tell you this. There's a great book out there by Dr. Luann Brizendine called The Female Brain, and now she wrote the sequel to the book called The Male Brain. But what she discovered and what she talks about in The Female Brain is as women start to approach menopause, two hormones, oxytocin and and prolactin, they drop, which they do at the perimenopausal stage, women end up having a sense of dissatisfaction. They can't put their finger on it, but they're dissatisfied with their lives. At the same time that they lose the motherly nurturing connection to their family. And this is a fact. You can read it in the Female Brain by Dr. Luann Brizendine. And she makes an amazing argument for the rash of divorce today. Because, you know, a study that was done by AARP shows that 70 somewhat percent, and I want to say it was 73% of all divorces today, are led by the woman, citing either emotional or some form of abuse. And again, we talked about perception before. And these women are always 40 years old and above. And when you look at those statistics and you look
right,
at what...
So typically post or getting into
menopause.
Yeah,
they're perimenopausal.
And that's when you get a change, you know, obviously in the hormonal balance. And it's interesting that, you know, that... This really, you know, it's one of those, like I said, the pendulum kind of shifts.
Testosterone may actually be the nurturing hormone.
We may find out. It's funny because what they mention is like oxytocin, which people think of as like the cuddle hormone or whatever.
Right.
And it's you know, oh, it's the thing, it, I don't know if, you know, people are exactly familiar with it, but basically it's produced or secreted in high amounts during labor, for example.
Right.
It's actually a drug that would be given to induce labor. So, and you know, they say that this incredible spike in oxytocin creates a bond between the mother and the newborn.
Right, and oxytocin is also produced moments after orgasm for women,
yes.
And that's why they've become bonded to their mate. But what happens is. But
here's the thing. It's also responsible for ethnocentrism and exclusionary practice. It's responsible for a lot of things that are societal ills,
right.
Generally.
Right. And guess what? Women are the carriers of oxytocin. And
yeah, so the problem is this, right? The problem is that people... All right, one is an odd number, you know, and two is an even number. We can't really characterize hormones... as definitively as we can characterize numbers or say that, you know, a Camaro is a Chevrolet. And people are very uncomfortable with the idea that, you know, that there's sort of these multifaceted characteristics to things. They want testosterone to be bad.
Yeah.
Or testosterone to be responsible for aggression and nothing else. And, you know, the problem is that, you know, the round in real life, we don't typically find round holes and round pegs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
And then that's how sort of we're wired to think is like, okay, the round, you know, round peg, where's the round hole and where's the square peg? That's not really what testosterone is, and it's not really what estrogen is or oxytocin or any of these hormones.
Right.
You know, that we'd like them to be because that would make things very neat.
Yeah, it would make it easy for us. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
we want as humans are a strange species, we want to understand the meaning of everything, and anything we can't understand the meaning, we try to apply a meaning to it because meaning gives us some sort of control over our lives. You know, something is symbolic. It means something to us. We don't like things that we can't answer. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and then that's you know, it just makes it easier. And the other thing, you know, it makes it easier for someone to make a snarky comment about Schwarzenegger and be like, you know, blah, blah, testosterone,
right,
than it is to really say, you know, to really care about what was going on. I mean, that, what did that last, a week?
Yeah.
Like, does anybody care anymore? Like, it literally lasted a week, and it was the biggest thing, and then, you know, it just disappeared, and now people are on to the next thing, and, you know, and to be honest, and this is what I was sort of getting at a second ago, a reporter, you know, who's writing that story up for like Huffington Post or something or wherever, you know, goes, oh, this like big musclehead cheated on his wife. Let me make a stupid testosterone comment. And now I'm going to talk about Fiat being purchased by Chrysler next week, you know, or whatever.
Right, right.
And that's the thing. It's just an easy out. It's an easy, stupid comment to make. And that guy gets the article off his desk, and he moves on. And that's part of the attitude.
No interest in what ramifications occur as a result of this. No interest in what, you know, what, if he's accurate, if he's not. Just you're right. It's just he gets it done, and he moves on. Hey, Anthony, we've come to the end of the show. Let's plug your website again. It's Anthony Roberts, roberts.info. Anytime I tell people about you, they go, you know Anthony Robbins? No, Anthony Roberts.
Yeah, I get that. You know, I get that too, where someone will make a comment on a discussion board and say, oh, Anthony, you know, Anthony Roberts says this, and they go, the guy with the big teeth?
And it's, that's funny.
You know, yeah. And it's, no, like the other one.
Yeah, the other guy. All right, Anthony, thanks for being on the show today, man.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. And we will see everybody tomorrow with Casual Friday. Elisa has a great show planned for you. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll have some fun. We're going to point fun at nutritional idiocy. Lots of good things. We'll see you tomorrow.